Reading of the Holy Scripture this morning will be in Book Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, one of the most appealing Christmas stories, I think, or that I enjoy the most, and one of those is that of a mall and the night visitors. I hope some of y'all maybe saw that again this year. The three wise men are on the way to Bethlehem in this story, and they come to the home of a very poor family, a poor woman who has a little boy that's named Amal. You see, Amal is crippled, and he can't walk without a crutch. One evening, Amal and his mother's existence is interrupted by a loud knocking at the door. And his mother says to Amal, "Go see who's at the door." He goes and he comes back and says, "Mama, a king is there." She lashed him with him with her tongue and exaggerating so much and sent him back to the door. And he came back the second time and he says, "There are two kings out there." Oh, he was in big trouble now. So a third time, she sends him back to the door, and he comes back saying, "Mama, there are three kings at the door." Eventually, after all sorts of conversation and discussions, the three kings come in. And Amal's mother wished that she had something to send with them as they left, but she really had nothing. She was very, very poor. So Amal, kind of sensing what was going on and what was happening around him, and sensing that something needed to be sent, but they had nothing, decided to send his crutch. the one thing that was indispensable to him, he was going to give away. So he lifted up his crutch and he gave it to the wise men. He gave what he had. He gave personally. He gave it completely. And then a miracle occurred in the story. His mother noticed that Amal could now walk. The giving away of his most valued treasure was the very thing that freed him from the need of having to use it. Today's gospel reading in the book of Matthew is where the story of the three wise men that are coming to worship at the feet of Christ. It is told during this time of year, immediately following Christmas, this is the time that we commemorate this event. And this week we widely separate throughout the church and the world this event called Epiphany. It's when we remember the events directly after the birth of Christ. It is a time when we, like the three wise men, like the Magi who followed a star, is a time when we are reminded of the meaning of the coming of Christ. Have you ever wondered? I have. I've often wondered in reading this part of the scripture. I've wondered what disappointment that these three men must have experienced that night. They traveled many, many miles by camel. They followed this wondrous star that was in the skies, and what did they come upon? A stable. They had followed a star and found a stable. I'm sure they were expecting a palace, perhaps a stately mansion. I just wonder how they felt. The disappointment that might have crossed their faces as they looked down upon this nearby Judean hill and came to the realization that their destination was a stable. You know, following stars and finding stables, I think, is a common occurrence in human experience. Who among us has not at some time in our own lives fixed our gaze on some high and lofty star only to find that it leads to a stable? You know, hundreds of examples could be given. A young person graduates from high school full of great dreams and expectations about the future, only to wake up one day and discover that they are now enmeshed in the very drudgery that they had hoped they could avoid. An individual comes to retirement age, thinking of all the good things that they're now going to be able to do. After a few weeks or months, however, discovering that retirement is not exactly what they thought it might be. The days begin to grow longer. All of us at some time in our lives have followed a star and found a stable. But the problem now for us is we can't just stay there. The problem is what we need to do is how to turn that stable into a moment of salvation. What is it that enables wise men of every age to turn the stables of life into victory? For one thing, they look for God in that stable. You know what? I don't think we could have blamed those three men of old if they'd have just gotten off their camels, kind of dropped their heads sadly, turned back toward home when they saw where their journey was ending. Perhaps, though, the thought came to them that the wonder and majesty of God and his purpose could just be as potent in that stable as in a palace. As one reads in Scripture, one can note that the Scripture is quite realistic about the stables that come to even God's people. The difference between God's people and others is that God's people never give up on God. Amen. Take the Old Testament figure Joseph, for example. You remember Joseph, the man with the coat of many colors, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, dropped into a pit, went to Egypt, became a manservant in the household in Egypt, was lied about by his master's wife. He was thrown into prison. Can one imagine that all the humiliation and disgrace in among all that, you could see maybe where God was taking him? I don't think so. I couldn't. But later on, years later, his brother stood before him in fear. And he calmed their hearts with these words. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can we do that with our lives? Can we look at our own disappointments and see God's power, God's plan, God's purpose? A man not too long ago I read about was justifiably proud of his yard. Now, I've been in that phase of my life, and I'm here to tell you right now, you never have to worry about pitting your yard up against mine, because you can win. I'm okay with that. But he had a lawn, and he was so proud of this yard, and he worked very, very hard on it. And one year he had a heavy, great crop of dandelions. We've all had those. He tried everything imaginable in an effort to get rid of them and had no success. So finally, in desperation, he wrote a letter to the agricultural college in that state. And he listed all the things that were going on. He sent pictures. He listed all the remedies that he had tried. And he concluded with this appeal: what should I do now? Several weeks later, they mailed this reply: we suggest that you learn to love them. Maybe we can't learn to love our disappointments, but at least we can ask and seek what good can come from them. We need to look for God in the stable. Secondly, the wise men offer their best to God. The wise men, getting off their camels, realizing that they had come to a stable, they still knelt before that baby and offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think at times a central problem in our lives is not that we've experienced more than our share of disappointment, but that we don't always do the best with what we have. Renoir, the famous French artist, was afflicted at a point in time in his life with very acute rheumatism, and suffered most of his life with that incurable malady. For many years, he was forced to paint while sitting in a chair. And a friend one day noticed that he was forcing himself to once again paint almost through blinding pain. And his friend said, "You've painted enough. You are established as one of the top artists in France and all of Europe. Why must you go on torturing yourself so?" Renoir hardly looked up from his canvas and said, "The pain passes, but the beauty remains." "Give of your best to your master," wrote the poet. "Give of the strength of your youth." That's not only a command from a sovereign God, but it's also the secret to successful living? What do we do when we follow a star and find a stable? First of all, we look for God and His purpose. And then secondly, we give our best to God, whatever that is. But I think the crowning experience comes when we make our way back from that stable, back into the pattern of everyday living. And so third, because of what happens in that stable, the wise men marked a new direction for their life. The wise men took a different direction home because they were warned that Herod was going to try and learn from them where the new king lay. But we might count it as significant that it is always what happens when one encounters God and His purpose for us, and we attempt to give our best to God, that God then charts out a new direction in our lives. It's hard at times to understand, but disappointment at times can be a very good thing for us. It can help us grow. It can help us mature. It can help us to learn. The difference, I believe, between those who remain mediocre and those who become great is that those who become great learn from their experiences. They learn, and from their learning, they gain new insights into their own needs and abilities and God's purpose for them. And that's when they pick themselves up and they've kind of dusted themselves off. They're better people for that experience. Back in 1951, some doctors in one of the penitentiaries in Ohio tried to have an experiment. They believed that if they operated on an individual's brain, that they could change him and rid him of criminal tendencies. There was a prisoner there in the prison who submitted to that operation, who agreed to have it. But the operation was a failure. The man was released from prison after having the operation, but within weeks he was soon back for forgery. In order for a man to be changed, God must change his heart. How about your own life this morning as we begin 2013? Is that what we need most? Maybe a new direction? No, that's the glory of the gospel. That's why the story of the first Christmas is called Good News. Because it's a way of transforming the commonplace into something significant and sacred. We've been given an incredible opportunity to partner with the very God of the universe in building His kingdom. I want to say that again. We have been given an incredible opportunity for 2013. We've been given an opportunity to partner with the very God and creator of the universe in building His kingdom this year. The call of Christ is a call to action. Just as the Magi saw a distant star and followed it to the Savior, the King of Kings, so too God has given us a sign of His coming and a call to action. Now, earlier I told you about a boy by the name of Amal who gave the only thing of value that he had to the Magi so that they could take it to the King. A crippled boy who was willing to give the most valuable thing he had, his crutch, as a gift to Christ. And the story continued that because of that he was healed. And the message, I think, is clear. It is in our sharing of our most precious gifts that we find healing. It is in loving others, as in sharing our gifts, that we become free to receive the most precious gift that has been given to us, the grace, love, and mercy of Christ in our own lives. Amen. So I ask you this morning, have you ever followed a star only to come to a stable? If you have, look for God there. You may be surprised at what you find. So what gifts do we bring to the Christ child? Offer your best to Him. Offer your best to God, and He will use it in His kingdom. And when you leave, go home by another way. Don't do what the Herods in this world ask you to do. Those are the secrets of the wise men of every age when they follow a star and find a stable. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we begin our new year with You, hoping that this year will be different and be better than last year. Hoping that we will be better persons. Hoping our work will be improved, our marriages will be better, our families will be stronger. Lord, we place our hope in You, for You are the author of our lives. We pray for our churches that Your Spirit will be alive for all to experience You. We pray for our country's leaders that they will use wisdom in their decision making. We pray for this country that we continue to come out of this recession, that jobs will continue to become available, that foreclosures will decline and debt will be paid down. We pray for our world that relations among all Your people and all Your creation will be better, that strife will cease, that those who hunger will be filled. And Holy Author, we have no idea what this year holds for us, but we know who holds us. Because it is You that holds us, we place our faith and our trust in You. Help us to have eyes open to Your light, open to Your ways, and open to Your presence as we go through this year. In Thy Son's name we pray. Amen.